then?
Yep.
Okay. So, hello everyone. I'm a graduate student in the Dr. Physics lab. So, my part of my project is doing simulation. So, the system I'm working on is basically Linux. So, I will give a brief introduction for Linux, and hopefully, I can help you to get used to using the Linux system. So firstly, some terms. So as you know, Linux is an operating system. So just as like Windows or Mac OS X is a kind of operating system. So operating system is you have your hardware and you have a software. If you want to make your program connect to with hardware, you need to use using an operating system as a media. So there's a two, mainly has a two type operating system. One is command line interface. Basically, it's a very traditional, like most programmer would use this one. You type in a command, the computer will be give you a feedback, only one by one feedback. The other one is a graphical interface, which is most people used to use. I got a screenshot for this newest latest Windows 10, I guess. So it's you use a mouse to move it around. You click the icons, and then you start your software. But in a command line interface, you need to type in the software. For example, you type in a Firefox, you open your web browser. Instead, in a graphic interface, you double click. I like a graphical interface because it's easier. But why we need to use Linux? Before I say it, I don't want to confuse you a little bit. The Linux doesn't mean you only can you need to use a command line. The Linux also have a very beautiful fancy graphic interface. They both have the two available. So, but the Linux is mostly based on the core of Linux is based on a command line. So, so why have we use Linux? Linux. I will say it later. Why we has a Linux and a Unix, the two kind of name. The first thing is a stable. Why is stable? I will show you this timeline. So, this is a timeline of a modern operating systems. So the first modern operating system is, is Unix. So we start from the late 60s, which developed by Bell Lab. And then the upper one is the Windows base, Microsoft series. The bottom one is the Unix family. Apple system 0.1, but anyway, it's Linux system. As times go, the first Microsoft DOS, it also has a command line base. You only typing a command. And then in the middle of 80s, the Steve Jobs, they developed this graphical interface, and again the new age of computer scan, so you don't need to type in, you just move it along the mouse and double click, and maybe the first one is maybe right one click. So and then I highlight this one. This the new coming is Linux. So what's the difference of Unix and Linux. So Linux is open source. Say it more generally, you can download free. So it's free. So it's good. So and the other thing is open source. So everybody can edit, modify this system. So every people can contribute to this system. So you can develop it faster. Linux. So basically today we're going to use is Linux. And why you say we don't want to use a graphical interface? So as I told you, the stable graphic interface only exists about 15 years. If you don't use before Windows XP. Before Windows XP, the Windows system usually crash, is very easy to crash. So which causes a lot of problems. So for example, you're running your experiment for maybe 1 week, and you collected a lot of data, and literally your system is crashed, so you cannot get your data out. That will be suck. So that's the reason why people choose the most stable system. So the Unix type. That's the reason why we're choosing Unix. Because it's stable. The other one is, as I showed you before, the Linux, Unix system, the whole family of Unix system has a long history. So most of scientific software is written by is written on this Unix based on system. So if you want to use this software, you only have this choice. The other one is Linux system can handle a lot of data. So for example, I have a simulation going on. I generate a tons of maybe 10,000 of files. But I make a mistake. I make a long file name. So I want to modify all the file names of my 10,000 files. So in your Windows system, the only way you do is your rename by whatever right click the file number or hit F2 button to rename your file. That will take years to rename all the files. But in a Unix system, you can easier to rename, do a batch work. For example, you want to do you want to rename in a certain format, that will easy to handle it. So that's Unix can handle the batch work very well. So again, there's another historic reason because the first modern system is Unix. So a lot of supercomputer, the operating system is Unix based. As I said, if we want to access supercomputing, that's Unix is your choice. The other one is, as I said before, after 1991, the Linux coming out. Linux is open source, so you have a lot of choice to choose your based on your purpose. You can choose your system. So for example, there's two choice here. In our lab server, we choose this kind of system. It's all Unix based, but it has two kind type. The Ubuntu is more user friendly. But in a OMR system, we want to stable and reliable. So there's another system, operating system you can choose. All of them is if you call the father, is your parents will be Unix. So to summarize, why we choose that? as a comics, I want to show you. So if you want to reach your scientific goal, your normal cars will not reach there. You need to use some kind of monster truck to overcome all the difficulties. Linux is your choice. The other one is money based. So if you got updates, because Linux is free, you can upload easier. Windows, you know, every week you got updates. And sometimes it will jump out to automatic update for you, which is not good. If you're doing a computing and it just jump out by itself, so I don't like that. So Mac, you pay it. So only 99 cents. So to summarize, if we want to stable, cheaper, and a reliable system, Unix based system will be your choice. Hopefully, I will help you to. I will show you example one by one to help you to navigate, familiar with Unix system. Before that, I believe most of you don't have. Unix system installed in your laptop. So we'll provide a login to our Unix server in upstairs. But firstly, you need to install some software. So firstly, you need to download the BISC-Init. So if you didn't, you can go ahead to type in this one to get that software installed. And then you have a setting you need to go through, which will be connected to another graphic interface, but this one will be less. Let's go ahead to install the software. So feel free to raise your hand if your install or download is not going well.
You have that on the next slide, right? You have
your hosting
one?
Hostname is here. Your blog, bloch.cam.msstate.edu. And your username, I believe last night, Dr. Fiske sent you an email. It's,
download those two as clients.
Oh,
that,
yeah. Right there?
Yeah. Tunneling.
Transfer?
No, the people. People.
So are you our
Okay.
Well, you actually have a piece of
software.
Okay. Did you find the terminal?
Yes.
Yes.
So is that it?
For this, so what's your, now, for you, we want to type SSH. So this, again, this is command.
So that's band.
Connect. And then space. And I'm not sure yet. So you're server, which is on the next slide.
Just hit connect.
Yes. It's not going to show.
Oh,
for security
reasons. Okay, thank you.
MSU went. So, should you go to gym? You might have a second chance. So,
and then you'll walk up.
Possible.
Let me check that out. Sorry, I haven't used it
in a while.
Yeah,
tunneling.
That's the version from 2 years ago, and I forgot to update it when I printed them out. So, first of all, here's the server name for those of you who've gotten that far, and then your username and password and stuff. The printout that you currently have recommends you install something called Sigwin, and we're not going to do that. So Sigwin had some issues a few years ago where they changed some of the security settings and it's no longer easy to work. That said, if you go to the course website, the version of the PDF on there, it'll say updated May 31st, 2015. That's the version of the document that you want to use. And so
I'll leave this up here. So this is the version of the worksheet that I should have printed out. And you can see at the end, I mean, the first instructions are all the same for SSH client, so that's all good. But then instead of installing Sigwin, it installs a program called Xmin, which is actually a little bit easier to use and doesn't have the same kind of security issues. And so if you have a copy of the printout, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it until up to this point. And so from there I would start, you know, just go to the website, download this, and then you can, this is nice too because you can just click on the links rather than having to type them into your browser. And again, you and I will still be walking around if you guys need some help getting things done.
I believe the
Definitely. So I believe no. Let's wait. So so as soon as you log in, so is everybody got the log in? So if you are logged in, if you remember, you need to type in your server name. One way is you can save this profile. So by hitting this profiles, adding a hit this icon, add profile, and then you can add a profile, save all the information for you. For me, I would just I like put my first name in the hit, and then put at blog, and. And the next time when we disconnect this one, when you reconnect, only as a profile has your all information stay safe there, and you can hit just typing a password, you can log in.
Is everybody getting Ming, X-Ming installed too?
X-Ming?
But have you ever made an account on my Google?
on our server.
Those people don't take it.
You can just get your undergrad account.
I'm gonna take it.
So you try to hunt to take some of your cash to the last floor.
We can change it
right
by type of
XIS.
Oh, yeah.
So you can text for texting your install is correct or not. You can type in a command. You look at the bottom of screen. The XIS. Yes, eyes come. There's a small window come out. Should be.
No, I just stopped.
Yeah,
mine is not
you. So you can track in your server is catching your
point.
Actually, this software is running in the upstairs.
This is the old one.
Thanks, man.
So anybody have a problem running exercise?
This is just where to find it so you can run it easily. And so this is basically just a way to access the program itself. In the newer versions of Windows, they don't have like program files, the older versions
right.
And so it's a little confusing to see the shortcut. And so this is where you can find it. And then the program again is
that's universal.
So that will let you run the or get access to the program. And then once you have it, you can try to get a short copy of the desktop.
So let's, I guess I need to move on here. So if you got XIS running, so which means your Xmin is installed correctly. Essentially, this one is you're running a command line by looking at this one. This is one simple program, but if we want to another program, you need to terminate this one. So you need to close this one first. So you see, you're looking at the bottom. That's what I'm going to input. So there's a cheat sheet available also in your handout. So I will help you to go through these commands and show how you're going to use these commands. So firstly, if you can look at this button. So usually, typically, it will be show your ID, your net ID at block, which shows you are located in this server. And there's a colon and then there's a tilde means your home address. So if you're if you look at this data structure, so in a normal Windows data structure, you have your C driver, and everybody has assigned. This is a Windows space. This one, for example, the tilde means you are in your home directory, which means you are in this location. In this location, you can go up and or go down. There's a tree structure here. Typically, So now you are in here, so you need to know where you are and when is now. So where you are, you can type, who am I? So usually we show your ID up, your ID, or you can just simply type who. We'll be showing here, so there's a whole bunch, it's a lot of here. So the one I highlight here is your colleague logging in this server. You see there's a lot of people now currently logging into this server. This you guys. And the other simple command is you can type date. So we'll be showing when is enough. Showing a date and the time. So you can see that it's an interact process. You only do one command and you got React from that. So the also the other one now I ask you a question, who am I? Who am I? Where is now? And again the next one is where am I? So the where is you need to know what's your folder location in a system. So the command is pwd, which is print out your current location. So it's here, you print out your current location, which is you are in your folder. So for example, I go to one of so you can also go so how am I move along in this file system is firstly you type cd represent the changing directory. So for example you want to move in up level, so your current level is in your home directory. You can move up level. If I look at this tree structure, now you currently you are in here. For example, you can go up to the home directory. The two period comma. Yes. The question of that one is if you run, you only can run, in currently I told you that you only can run one command one at one time. If you open XIS, you need to close it, you can run next command. Otherwise you stuck there. Because the system will not finish your first one, you cannot go there. So two period means you go to up level. So you changing the credit to period, you see now the after semicolon, the one I highlight here, now is showing your current location is in a home directory. So
and they're going to be in a 2016 directory. So all the biochem bootcamp people are in like
okay
home bootcamp 2016.
So and I'll
LS,
take
there's all the names of the NetIDs that we have.
So currently I take an example. Yes, I've got it's a different situation here. So let's repeat this. So this command I shown here is list. So LS means you know, I told you previously is you know where you are. It's WPD is showing your directory. For example, I on net ID AH 507. Maybe
who's
some.
That?
Okay. So I can read. So as you see, I can read my colleague's files, but I cannot change these files. That's a security, because the security is the system, you only can read only, you cannot write anything on other people's directory. So
The first command I told you is this. So you're going to, because when you first time you get in this folder, you don't know what kind of files in this directory. So you need to print out how many files in here. In a Windows system, for example, you open one file, open one Windows, the automatically you're showing what kind of file inside that. But in the terminals, in this command line interface, you cannot know that. You need to type ls, which is list. Show me what file in this directory. So list. So the other one is you can list. As you see, list has all kinds of options. So you can hit. List is a command. There's options -a, which is show all files. You see, there's a difference. If you only type list, you only show part of your files. The list-a is showing all the files in this directory. So you can find that there's a hidden part, which starts from a period there. You can see dot something. Which is a hidden file. It also shows the windows. The system will not show you all the files because this file is critical for systems. So it's hiding for the users. So, but how do you know what kind of option you have? If you want to get help, how to use this command, you can type man. Man is stand for a menu. So the menu list. So I asking a help. I want to see the menu, the user menu of list. So you can type the man, space man list. You can see they will show you all the options you can have. So usually showing you what kind of option you can have. So as I told you before, /a is showing all the files. You can also, there's a different options you can use. You see at the bottom of this one, it's not showing all the menu. You can hit space, or you can move, or you can play with up arrow and the down arrow. You can move around that. You can hit space, or if you read out all the information, you can hit, now it's reach your button. So if you want to quit them, this menu folder, you just simply hit Q. As you're showing a hint for the button, you hit Q. So you back to this one, your starting point. So also there's two options, there's two way to showing the help, the menu. The other one is this and two slash. You can see you can type help. Here we're showing the same kind of thing, but in a different way. This one is just showing all your help information. So mostly all the software in Unix, you can hit you can your commands and type. You can get help information out, or you can simply use man function to get the menu out. So there are two ways to, if you have want to input two options, for example, the one is this or and the L. So you can show me more information here. So for example, the your owners and your changing times. So there's also a way to showing different information. Like in Windows, you can show the details of your list folders. So this command is showing what files in this one. The other one is I mentioned previously, you can
You want to navigate in these file systems. So you want to change in your directory. So for example, you want to go up level, so or lower level. So for example, you want to go up level, you can go changing directory, go 2 points. Two dots means you're going to up level. So you go to up level, you'll see when you print directory, you'll see I currently in a home. If you do this one, you will show that you will see exactly the same thing here. So now we're currently in a boot camp and 2016. So the other one is if you want to go back to your home directory, there's an easy way to go back. Is you just type cd. The default setting of this program is if you don't input any directory, you just type in cd, hit enter, and you will go back to your home directory. You see after the dollar sign, before the dollar sign, you back to this tilde. So let's do another one. So if we want to go to one directory called for example, you want to go to the undergrad. There's another user called undergrad. So you don't need to type if you want to go to another user called undergrad, you need to type changing directory cd tilde undergrad. So you see your current location became undergrad. So and when you reach a new environment, you always want to know what kind of files in this directory. You type ls showing files. You see now there's a bunch of files in undergrad. So and then you want to go to their notebook, for example, you can see the notebook. So you can always type all the directory you want to go. So is there anyone? I want to everybody in the same page now. So is there anyone has problem reaching this here?
Thank you.
So I assume everyone's good. So changing directory, one is trick to you. I show you my experience here. So if you want to go to a notebook, you find that the notebook only one option. I don't need to type all the notebook. You can type notes, and you see I didn't type everything. I just hit tab key. So I hit tab. So the system will automatically refill all the information for you. I got this trick. So if you see you know there's a tab, you hit tab, the system will automatically refill the command for you. And again, you can navigate to that. And again, you go to notebook, you go to new environment, you see the list, and you see that in this directory, you only get one folder. If you hit tab here now, the system will be automatic refill the showing option for you, is unfolding. So and again, you see here there's a bunch of files. So you can copy this file. For example, you can copy. I show you how to copy one file to another directory. So for example, you want to copy YearPy. So the CP stands for copy. So you CP space, and you because you list all the options you can type. So you list out all the information, and then you see So as I show you here, so you can always use tab key. So you can use tab, you can all easy to, you don't need to do a lot of typing actually. So if you want to copy this one to your home directory, so you don't know where is your home directory. Yes, always has shortcuts, which calls the tilde. Tilde. So you only type tilde and then hit enter. You see this one, this EAPI will be automatically copied to your tilde. And let's check is this EAPI in your home directory. So how to quickly go to your home directory. You just type cd, hit enter, and you go back to your home directory. So how do you know you're back to your home directory? As again, you look at this here. The one I highlight there is before the dollar sign, the symbol became the tilde, which means you are in your home directory. In my home directory, I have a lot of file here. So you're hard to see whether your file is copied there or not. So there's another way to use this. So is you can list, you know where your copy is here, start from Y. So you can hit tab, they automatically fill your file. So you see when you list, this command means you only list out the name has EAPI in this file. So which means we have EAPI here. So now I show you how to copy one file. The other one is if we want to create one new directory. So which use which command is mkdir, which is make directory. So for example, you want to create one directory called test. So you can type mkdir make. So you and again you changing directory to your new directory test. So you hit list when you hit in your text, you hit list because this directory is just you create this directory just brand new. So there's nothing else. So the next thing is you if we want to move the PyR, we just copy in your home directory. So there's a move file called mv. So in your home directory, so here's a tilde forward slash means the next level of your directory. So you only hit Y and hit tab is very easier to use function. So you want to move this file to the current directory. The current directory is point forward slash. So point forward slash means your current location. So you move the EAPI to current location and hit PI. You see you move the previously is in home directory EAPI. You move it to this current directory. So you see here. So if you want to delete this one, the command is called rm remove. So remove has always a this key here. If we want to execute this command, always double check because in Linux system when you remove one file, there's no easy way to recover it. Remove means there's no recycle, no trash can in Unix system. If you remove, it's simply just gone. It's no easy way to get back. For example, if you want to know how to use remove, there's always, I remind you here, so there's another, the menu, man, is always your body. So you hit man, you can see a menu, user manual for this command. So there's a whole bunch of options here. So for example, if I create one directory called Yue is my name. So if we want to remove this directory, if you just type remove im to remove this one, it will tell you that there's an error sign. Because this, you cannot remove this directory. It's also security setting. You cannot just simply remove one directory because probably in this folder has a lot of other files. You cannot just simply remove one directory. So there's a way to remove directory is called, you need to type the option, I'm, the option, so R, there's a no sign here, so refer to remove directory. So you can remove, you need to put one option there and hit remove. Yes, so now the directory is gone. Or there's another option. I create this directory again. So, or you can hit, you can type rmdir. So refers to remove directory. So if we want to do this way, it also work for if we want to delete one folder, one directory. So the directory here is sort of a folder in the Windows system. So so for this one, you always need to remember some commands. It's not easier. So but always remember tab key is your friend. So if you want to know you forgot how to remove command, for example, this command called I forgot this rmdir, this remove directory command. You can hit the tab twice. You see there's a bunch of options you can choose. This command is for example, I want to use this one. I forgot this one. So I forgot how to type it. So for example, you just remember I want to the stuff on arm. You forgot the rest of that. You always hit twice tab. There's a command available to use. If we get the stuff on empty, you hit tab. You see there's a 4,000 something command. You're available now. So it's too much. Yes. If we want to take a look, you can show it. Hit yes. You can show all the commands you can type, but it's just simply too much. For example, if you forgot how to list, but you know the list starts from L, so you can hit twice. Okay, it's too much. So you can also showing up how many commands start from L. So if you don't know one command, for example, you want to know, you saw there's a command interesting, you want to know how to use this command, you can use man and the space. For example, I want to know local, maybe. Yeah, local has a user manual, so you can always bring out the manual. You can self-learning in a Linux system by this way. Okay, so that's one.
I'll show Grace.
Grace, okay. I believe everybody installed Xmin. So the Grace is supporting software. So the you want to execute this software. You need to type XM Grace. It's simply just the name of this software. You see, you bring out a new window, which is a porting software. So now your Grace is running here. So I will show. There's another way. I told you guys the command line only one commands once. That's not exactly correct. You can you can hot this software by press Control plus Z. You hot this, stop this one, and again you can hit background. So you see now this program is running in the background. So you can still, for example, you can do whatever you want. This program is still running in the background. So I want to show you how to edit text. There's a whole bunch of text editor in Linux system. Will be useful is called Xemacs. So as I show you here, I already run a Grace one here. So you can hit Xemacs. You'll be showing up this window. So you can start from scratch. So, oops. How to get back? Just close it. So if you want to edit one file called, you can type Xemacs txt. So you can type, for example, you have one data point, you can type the number here, for example, 01, 02. So this one is stand for some random points. So in this text editor, so which is very popular actually. If you want to save this one, you can hit Control plus X, Control plus S. So you already saved this file. You want to exit, you can type Control plus X, Control plus C, and then you exit. So now you see there's a text what I just added. If you want to show this text, you can use cat. Cat is showing all information in this text. So you can type text, you can hit tab, or you can show fill up all the things, and then you say, you can showing all what I added, all I input in this part. So also, if we want to, now you got these points in a Grace, you can input this in this one. So the Grace is a porting software. So you see, you port out your points here. So as you see here, the command line doesn't mean you only can type commands. When you install the Xmin, you can bring out the graphic interface. And the amazing thing here is this software is not running in this computer, it's running in the server. So everything here actually is running in the server upstairs. You only got a projection here. So every command, so you see this cell dot here, and let's go to your home directory. So in your home directory, because I don't have the same information, I need to go to your home directory actually. So you see, I don't need to type all everything. You just, so for example, there's two things. The tab can be hit twice. You can show in what information in this folder. So you don't need to stop and hit list. So for example, in your home directory, you see that there's a different color stand for. The green color stand for the executable software. So which means this is actually a program which you can run in this software. So how to run in this software is you need to type point forward slash program. So you see I didn't type program, I just hit tab the program because there's a two program file here. I want to run this dot sh. So you see the program is running, so you see hello world. But if we only type program dot slash, it's not running because this program only can run locally. You cannot run as a general commander. So the point forward slash is telling the system you're going to run this program in this directory. So the other one is I want to show the cat before, but cat is showing all the information in one time. So for example, in this text data, you got this whole bunch of data here. If we want to just take a look at the first cell, you don't want to show all the data. You can use more. The more program is okay. It's not long enough. You can use head. The default head will be just showing the first 10, I guess. You see the less difference. If you just head, the system will be only read out the first 10 line. You can also use tail. Tail is just showing the bottom 10 lines. And again, if you want to run Xemax, as I told you, XMGrace is a porting software, so you can always using this information as input. You see, the Xemax will help to plot your curve, your data set as figure. So hopefully I cover the main part of this one. It's essentially how you navigate in this Linux file system. Until this moving part. And this data structure, directory structure in Linux. There's a whole bunch of the other commands which is useful in a cheat sheet. You can get this cheat sheet from a bootcamp website. Secure shot. The next thing I want to show is as I told you here, you run this program on a server. All this file is not in your local computer. If you want to download local computer, this SSH Secure Shell also provide a data transfer option, which is a data transfer client. So you can download your files very easily. For example, I want to download this TXT, PPT file from a service. You just simply drag to this one. Okay. So you can simply just drag to this one. The left side is your local computer. The right side is your server information. And again,
you can open this file locally. So there's a data transfer option. The other thing is compress. You can also compress your files. So which you also use for example, you have these files. You want to make a compress a zip file. You can use get command to make a zip file. It's all I found is useful. The last one I want to cover is as I told you if we, for example, you want to run XS, you want to run it backgroundly, so you can adding this sign. You maybe not see very clearly, but when you add it, the XS is not running. It's running background, so still running here, but you can do multi-texting some kind of thing in the forwards. For example, you have one software, it's running, and presumably this software is crashed. It's crashed. You cannot move well. You want to terminate this software. So for example, if you didn't add anything, you see it's crashed here. You always can terminate this software by press control plus C. No.
I don't know. Control Z should work.
Yeah. Control Z is stop, but this software is here, but you cannot close it. Console Z is hot. If we want to bring it live, you can hit background, BG stand for background, and then you'll see the software is bring back. I believe that's what I have now. It's no. I guess this cheat sheet is available. So each command you can practice for a while for navigating in your file system. And I found this one is useful. And I believe that's it. Hopefully, I cover most of things, but the practice is best teacher. If I want, tell you. I didn't cover the the Linux system has a it also has programming language. So yes. Yes, deep. So, that's it.